We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in Wednesday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing as always. Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, we talk to the skipper, Royals manager Mike Matheny. It's not every day, though, we talk to him after his birthday, in which he was thrown out of a game. Did the umpire not know it was your birthday?
Apparently not. Yeah, he didn't get that memo.
Yeah, I mean, and your 50th birthday as well. Like, this is a milestone, and you get tossed out of the game. I mean, so what was the game like sitting in your office watching last night?
Yeah, not the same, but I wanted that win so bad. Newberry kind of pitched out of a tough spot, hoping that might be that momentum shift, but just frustrating to watch. Brady's been so good, and he wasn't as sharp as he normally is, but you hate to see when it just gets made worse, maybe not getting some calls we needed.
Yeah, you know, and we've seen around baseball, especially this year, with you know, umpires making calls, and you know, it makes Twitter and everybody talks about them. How difficult is it for a Major League Baseball team to have to prepare for the opposition, but also prepare for who's officiating that game? Because from my seat, that's kind of bunk, man. Like, you shouldn't have to prepare for officials in a sporting event.
No, actually, I think that may have happened more in the past. They're trying to be held to a higher accountability, to where they're being graded on how many pitches that they miss. You know, back in the day, you knew if there was an umpire that had kind of a short straw with a certain team, you could stretch the plate off a foot and a half, and they'd call whatever they wanted to call. There wasn't any TV. There wasn't any repercussions. And, you know, I'd have umpires get over there and say, hey, when that kid comes back up here, you know, get in the other batter's box, and he's got no chance. I mean, we would literally do those sort of things. You don't get away with that really anymore. They're trying to be held to a higher level of accountability, but you're just going to have days when it just isn't clicking right, and that one wasn't a good one.
Did you ever tell him who was coming in after Singer to pitch, or did you just let him figure it out by himself?
No, he didn't like that a whole lot, so the conversation turned pretty quick when I told him he could figure it out, and he let me know he didn't like that, and that gave me an opportunity to let him know just how much I didn't like his strike zone. And after that, I don't really know what was said, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it's a brilliant answer, though. Yeah, I like, really like that. That's it's so like something I would do, Mike. Like who's pitching next? Figure it out yourself.
I thought the face covering would save you too. If you had the face covering on, you shouldn't be able to hear you.
Yeah, I thought we were socially safe and everything. He had rubber gloves on. I mean, we were in good shape. But, I didn't think he'd take the offense that he took. But, I knew it was bothering Brady. Brady does a real nice job of maintaining his emotions. But you could see early on, and he knew he needed a little help. When he executed a pitch, he just needed it to be called to get him back into account. And it seemed like every time the count switched, there was something bad happened right behind it. Now, we all take ownership and realize we can all do our jobs better. And I know Brady would love to have an opportunity to get back out there and be, and then he's going to get another opportunity to get back out. But last night, he knew we wanted that win bad, and couldn't find that location like he wanted.
How vital is it to get him one more start before heading into the winter break?
Yeah, I'd love to get all of them a bunch more. Yeah. That's the bad thing is we're leaving this. Just guys are kind of finding a rhythm, especially with these starting pitches, some of these younger guys. And they need to learn so many lessons, and we need to win. We know that. That's our goal. But after that, they're only going to learn some of these things at the major league level, playing against major league competition in this close to a major league environment as we have right now. And would love to continue to watch them progress and throw because they're doing so many things really well right now.
Talking with Mike Matheny, Royals manager here on 610 Sports Radio. And when we mentioned it was your birthday yesterday, and obviously getting tossed from a game isn't the best gift in the world. What's the best birthday gift you've ever got?
Yeah. I think my dad watched that that movie, A Christmas Story, long before I ever did. And so he pulled that whole deal. He knew I wanted a BB gun. I don't think it was a Red Ryder carbine action one, but he knew I wanted that more than anything. And we celebrated, and then he hid the BB gun behind the sofa, and then showed it to me. And man, I spent a lot of hours with that BB gun. But that's the one that probably stands out more than any other.
Did you shoot your eye out?
I never did. Nope, didn't shoot my eye out either. So that was always a plus. But I shot a whole lot of other things, I'll tell you that.
Well, we got some squirrels in the backyard. After the season's over, you want to come out, sit on the patio,
pick off some
squirrels? I'd be more than happy to have you over. I'll get a bottle of red wine, and we can sit out there and shoot at them if you want.
Well, without incriminating ourselves here, let's just leave this one alone for now. But I'd love to continue the conversation.
I'm all in on that one.
You've got a neighbor you might have to run that by first.
Forget about him. Yeah, not too worried about him. Pedro is up for maybe the Tiger job. Vance Wilson may be up for that Tiger job as well. Guys may be up for other managerial jobs. If they do get that job, what's the best piece of advice you can give them as a manager in baseball?
Yeah, and I really do hope. And first of all, I don't want to lose either one of these guys. I want to tell you how great this staff has been to work with. As an overall staff, the best group I've ever been around as far as how they prepare, they care for these guys at a level that's really unique at the professional level. But their skill set and things that you look for in this position, and everybody has their interpretation of what it is anymore. But it's an evolving position. There's no doubt about it. But it is about baseball IQ and obviously the tactics and understanding all the analytics and looking for every edge you can have. But it's more about EQ. And these guys have emotional intelligence. They communicate exceptionally well. They both have had a really good resumes and had great experiences, and I've had those conversations with them both about how exciting this is, and let's start working on a couple things maybe that might be part of this new interview process, because it is a new process and it's multi-layered. There's a lot of people involved, so you got to make sure you kind of run through the gamut of preparation. But I think each of them has kind of their own message of, hey, this might be something you need to think about, whether it's preparing for some questions at the end to ask, or whether it's addressing some things that we know are weaknesses. And it's a high level interview that I think teams are taking more than just the old school, let's sit down and have a conversation. They're running them through, an obstacle course to get this job.
We're getting to the final games of the season. How are you still evaluating? How are you looking at these last few games as you unfortunately are heading kind of closer to the off season?
Yeah, and I made a promise to these guys that we're going to talk about nothing but winning. And there are some players that we'll continue to want to see. We understand that we need to evaluate all the time, but we're all being evaluated. We're all being challenged and judged every single time we go out and do our job. I believe it's a safer place for these guys to do what they need to do when the expectation stays the same. So as we head down this last little stretch, the expectation is perfection. And what do we need to do to get better? Every single thing that we do all the time, and not be distracted by things that are out of our control. Because right now, out of our control is our record, where we stand, what the postseason looks like. What we can control is this next pitch and how we go about our game. And they bought into that. That's why it's been such a fun group to work with. They're always looking for something each day, and they're putting in that time and effort to improve, and they have improved. Whether or not record dictates that is up for interpretation, but I'll tell you, just looking firsthand and watching case by case each of these players and the group as a whole and their mindset and their mentality, the belief in themselves, they've taken significant steps forward.
You know, last week, I guess it was in the last week, you talked about Mondi being a player like you've never seen and managed a player like Mondi before. How does he reach that potential of what are saying is a potential MVP type of player?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just going to be contact and being able to manipulate the strike zone a little bit better. Obviously, we talk a lot about two strikes, especially with a player like Mondi's skill set. To run like he does, when he puts the ball in play, even the data tells us. I mean, he gets on base a high percentage of time when he puts the ball in play. So it's going to be a very clear work agenda for him with strike zone management. There's some great drills and there's some things that we're going to spend a lot of time talking with Mondi, and hopefully he's going to get the opportunity to work this winter on figuring out his strike zone, understanding the top of the zone as well as the bottom. He's a good low ball hitter. There are going to be times there's going to be swing and miss and chase. It's just how quick can we get into that mode of I'm going to put the ball in play, and I'm going to change the game when I put the ball in play. The sooner that we can help him get not just that mindset, because he is. The guy's working so hard to not strike out. Sometimes you're thinking so much about not striking out. It's like going out to the mound and tell a guy, don't walk this guy. I mean, it sometimes can become counterproductive. But overall, the skill set he has, you're talking about potential 100 base stealer here. I don't think the game's seen anybody like Mondesi in a long time, and it's all going to come down to us being able to help him get tighter on that strike zone, take walks, put the ball in play, and then let him do his thing.
All right, who are you taking, Roger Clemens in his prime or Bobby Witt?
Oh, man, boy, Roger would be nice to have. I tell you what, though, probably going to get a look at Bobby again this fall, and I continue to hear great things. So when you get the T-shirt made, just go ahead and send me one.
I will.
I was waiting for your follow-up, Bob. Is he going to be on the opening day roster next year?
That's next week's question. We'll wrap up the season. Look forward to next year. We'll say, is Bobby Witt going to be on the opening day roster?
We'll save that for next week, Mike. Looking forward to seeing you for the full nine innings tonight, all right?
Well, we'll see. We'll start it.
That's right. Mike Matheny, Royals manager, joins us on Wednesdays here on 610 Sports Radio. And he's good about, you know, us giving him a hard time about getting tossed on his birthday.
Well, so. I mean, because it was
50th birthday yesterday, and he got ejected. So.
Because they were squeezing Brady Singer.
He'll remember that one.
Yeah. What'd you do for your 50th birthday? Well, saw about four innings of a baseball game.
I was managing a game. Yep. And then it wasn't.
Then I wasn't. I was gone. Last thing I remember was saying is figure it out for yourself.
At least you had a nice.
I mean, that's a way to go down,
finishing
brother.
Finishing line. He's not Costanza coming back the next day with the comeback, right? He had it right
Well,
there.
The jerk store called, and they're running out of you. Now, that would have been a great line to use to the umpire.
That would get you thrown out, too. Your chance to win, as we learn this week's opponent, 913-576-7610. Line them up now to play Pick the Raven next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Line them up. It's time to play Pick the Raven.
Very this simple. Should be a week of layups.
Very simple game. Ryan's going to give you three names. One is a Baltimore Raven, so we learn our opponent together. The other two usually have something in common.
I think we like to learn even when we're wrong.
Don't cheat. Don't grab a roster or anything like that. Just he's going to give you three names. You tell us which one's the Raven. Get three in a row, you win. Simple as that. 913-576-7610.
What are we playing for?
A fabulous prize.
Fabulous prize.
Don't you know that's what I put on the paper when I don't know what the prize is?
I'm sure it's fabulous.
I'm sure it's fabulous. Sure that's all I stock.
Fabulous.
All I stock in that prize closet.
Jeff in Raytown is the first contestant, maybe the only contestant. Maybe he gets three in a row and wins. But Jeff, you're up first in Pick the Raven.
Jeff, you ready? Are you ready for the challenge? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah. Looking forward to the challenge.
Attaboy.
Time's yours.
Here we go. Jeff, your first list of names: Alex Connell, Ben Powers, Tony Esposito. Name the Raven.
Ben Powers.
Ben Powers is correct.
Way to go, Jeff.
Ben Powers, the left guard for the Ravens. Alex Connell, Tony Esposito, both goalies in the NHL Hall of Fame.
How about that?
I didn't know about Hall of Fame. I could have guessed Esposito was a hockey player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
A lot of Espositos in the hockey world.
It's true. Jeff, your second set of names. Let's go with Ben Wade, Geno Stone, Jack Aubrey. Pick the Raven.
Jack Aubrey.
Incorrect.
Oh, I apologize. Man. Jack Aubrey was actually the character played by Russell Crowe in Master and Commander. So was Ben Wade. He was a 310 to Yuma. Geno Stone, the name we were looking for. He's the free safety.
Yes, Iowa.
I have not seen
free safety Iowa.
310 to Yuma is a terrific movie.
I wanted to get into that here for a second because it's one of those movies that I always see but I've never watched that I always think is going to be very good.
Yeah, there's something about it you don't know what, but you have no idea what the movie's about.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always see a 310 to Yuma. I'm like, I'll get to that. Yeah. And it's probably about 20 years old right now. Right?
You really think it's that long?
I bet it's close to 20 years old.
So you're a little late for it?
310 to Yuma?
Yeah.
Nah, that movie's 10 or 12.
So you're late to it?
Yeah, I'm very late. Yes.
Really good movie. You should check it out. You should check it out.
Batman's up next on Pick the Raven. Batman, get three in a row and you win. Ryan's going to give you three names. One is a Raven. Two are not. You just have to pick the Raven.
All right, Batman. I like you, so I'm going to give you some easy ones here. Let's go with Brendan Harper, Derek Wolf, Joseph Presco. Pick the Raven.
How about Derek Wolf?
Derek Wolf is correct. He is the defensive end.
Nicely done.
For the Baltimore Ravens. Brendan Harper, Joseph Presco, they're REMAX agents here in the KC area.
Of course they are.
310 to Yuma came out in 2007.
Yeah. 2007? Yeah. I told you. 12-13 or something in that ballpark.
Derek Wolf was roommate with Kelsey.
Oh, okay.
Cincy.
Nice.
Interesting. All right, Batman. One for one. Right. Let's get this here. Trace McSorley, Lonnie Smith, and Jim Scranton. Pick the Raven.
I'll go with McSorley.
Oh, Trace McSorley is correct. The third string quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Lonnie Smith, Jim Scranton. Do you know who those guys were?
Well, I know Lonnie Smith played for the Royals.
No, they sound like barbers.
Lonnie Smith, Jim Scranton, players on the 1985 championship Royals team.
Jim Scranton sounds like the guy you call up when you need something, and he knows somebody for it. Like
Jim Scranton's got a guy.
Scranton. You know,
he's got a buddy.
It's like Kramer's friend Joe Saccomano, or Bob Saccomano. This was Joe Scranton. My buddy Joe Scranton is, you know, and you never meet Joe Scranton.
That's right. Okay, one more. You walk away with a fabulous prize, Batman. Let's go with Bernard Herrmann, Patrick Ricard, and Lalo Schifrin.
I'm going to go with Bernard Herrmann.
Oh, I really thought we were going to have a winner this week. Oh, and I just hung up on him. I didn't even put him on hold so he'd know. Bernard Herrmann, Lalo Schifrin. Both nominees for the 1977 Academy Award for Best Original Score.
Oh, of course. Okay. Of course. Of course. Did one of them win it?
Patrick Ricard is the fullback of the Ravens.
Wasn't he in Star Trek?
No, that's Patrick Picard. No, it's Patrick Stewart. He plays Jean-Luc Picard. Okay. I could see how that would be confusing.
Very confusing.
Rocket Ricard?
Yeah, the Rocket Richard. Yeah.
Lalo Schifrin wound up winning that, though. I think we all knew Lalo was going to walk away.
Old schoolers know that one.
I thought that was an upset.
I mean, if I tune into a movie and Lalo Schifrin didn't do the score, I'm like, this is crap.
I'm out.
Isn't that any relation to Michaela, the skier?
What?
Michaela Schifrin was the Olympic skier.
Wow, she named an Olympic skier.
Well, because she grew up like
I knew
right where
Peekaboo Street, that's it.
And who was the one that dated Tiger Woods for
Lindsay
a while?
Vaughn.
Lindsay Vaughn, yeah.
Lindsay Vaughn. Oh, yeah, she was...
That is Pick the Raven.
I thought we did okay.
Yeah, I thought we'd get, though. This is the biggest
Batman match had him on the ropes.
Biggest match of the year.
Some of the other Ravens you should have known. Chris Moore, he's a wide receiver. Justin Ellis, defensive tackle. Anthony Averett, a cornerback. And Chris Board. Didn't realize.
I thought, Chris, you know, Board. Back to the Jim Saccomano or Scranton. Like, I
Jim
thought...
Scranton.
I thought if you threw out a name of a random Royal, I would at least know that he played for the organization. I had never heard of Jim Scranton in my entire life.
Not just played for the organization.
He was on the 85 team.
Yeah. He's got a town in Pennsylvania named after
that him. That dude's never been back for, like, you know, opening day. They've never said, and now Jim Scranton. And he goes out there, like, and
tips his hat.
Yeah. Had you ever heard of Jim Scranton before?
Not until last night when I looked it up.
Josh?
No.
Has anybody on the
I mean, I've got an 85 series pennant that has, like, all the names of the guys.
And you've never even seen that name, right?
It may only have last names, though.
Jim Scranton.
I'll go home and take a look.
Kurt
tonight.
Nelson, Royals Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Paging
Kurt, do
Kurt.
You know
Paging
him?
Kurt. He'll tell us all about him.
Waiting for a Kurt text.
I am, too. I'm looking at my phone right now. No text from Kurt yet.
Hasn't already happened.
Wow. Wake up, Kurt.
Kurt knows exactly Scranton's, like, line from that year.
Kurt loses a bunch of weight. He thinks he's too good for us.
Yeah, he's done well. Now he's got me buying him keto buns at the Costco.
Bob wants this to happen. I want no part of it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Gale Sayers passing away at the age of 77, the Kansas Comet, born in Wichita, played for Kansas, went on to play for the Chicago Bears, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, passing away at the age of 77. Pro Football Hall of Fame actually made the announcement today.
Oh, yeah.
Sayers was drafted by the Bears and also drafted by the Chiefs in the AFL, but went on to play for the Bears and then was the youngest inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, of course, so cool that that Billy Dee Williams plays you in a movie.
Yeah, that's how cool you are,
that's,
right?
That's how cool you are.
Yeah.
That Billy Dee is playing you, of course, in Brian's song.
We got to get back to this Jim Scranton for a minute here.
One of the...
Jim Scranton
of all the
info?
Things from the Pick the Raven segment, we... are looking up a former Royal by the name of Jim Scranton.
Okay. Which, you know, I'd never heard of before.
Just warrant the breaking
Jim
news.
Jim Scranton played on the 84 and 85 Royals. In his major league career, get this, he is 0-6 in his major league career. Has no walks. Okay.
So he had six at-bats.
Six at-bats in his major league career. In 85, he had four at-bats, no hits, no walks, but scored a run.
Could have been a pinch runner.
Pinch runner.
Yeah.
Had to have been a pinch runner,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the man goes down in the annals of baseball history, 0-6 in his career with a 0.00 GPA. And one run scored.
Batting average. Come on, his GPA, I'm sure, is a lot higher.
I know. I'm just doing the Blutarski. But, yeah, 0-6 in his major league career. How about that?
That's probably why I hadn't heard of him.
His last game was October 6, 1985. Four at-bats against Oakland. No hits, no homers, no RBIs, and a stolen base. And his middle name is Dean. James Dean Scranton. Jimmy Dean.
See the sausage guy?
He could be. Went on to make sausage.
Yep. Parlayed those six at-bats into sausage.
Hi, I'm former Royal Jim Scranton. You may remember me from the one game I played in 1985, but now I've got Jimmy Dean Sausage Delights.
More breaking news, apparently. This comes from our...
No, this one really warrants the
no, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. It actually does come from our news desk, right, Ryan? Breaking news on 610 Sports Radio, powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil.
Magazine's still a thing, apparently. Time Magazine coming out with its 100 most influential people of 2020.
Patrick Mahomes is on the list, huh?
Did you get this news already?
No, or? I just assumed he would be the most influential person of the year. He's the only one who's had a good year.
They're probably anti-chiefers.
Yeah,
including Mahomes. It does include Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes making the list of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people of 2020.
Well, absolutely. Good. I think he's changed the way football's played in the NFL. He's changed contracts in professional sports. I mean, the man is worth $500 million if he reaches the end of his contract. He's won a Super Bowl. He endorses a ton of products. Kids love him. His jersey's an all-time seller. Yeah, I mean,
he was at the forefront of getting on board, pushing the NFL to get on board with as I call it, listening to their players.
Right. Absolutely. All the social justice stuff.
Social justice initiatives. So, he's very influential.
No question. And I think there are a lot of people who believe, and you talk to people behind the scenes, if Patrick Mahomes was not in that video, we would not be sitting here today talking about the social justice initiative that the NFL has, and you wouldn't have had the message from the commissioner that came out right after all of the players got together and did that video. Patrick Mahomes has more influence in the NFL probably than any other player does right now.
Now, you want this to happen? I do not. And we're talking about a rivalry.
That's right.
Chiefs and Ravens coming up on Monday. A lot of people are trying to force this as this is Brady Manning. These two guys are going to go battle and battle and battle for years and years to come.
Mm-hmm.
You're all in favor of it.
I am all in favor of this. From a selfish standpoint, I want to see this. And I don't want to see Russell Wilson in the conversation as the best quarterback, because I don't think Russell Wilson in the NFC can have the rivalry that Mahomes and Lamar Jackson have. And I want to see this as a rivalry, because right now in the AFC West, it's the Chiefs and everybody else. I mean, there just isn't a rival right now in the AFC West. I like those rivalry games. I loved Kansas, Missouri, Yankees, Red Sox, Cardinals, Cubs, back in the day when it was Chiefs and Raiders. And, I was with some of the members of the 69 team last night, and they showed a highlight in this movie we were watching, and one of their players punched one of the Oakland Raiders, and they're all cheering. I mean, these are guys that are in their 70s right now watching a game from 1969, and one of their players punched a Raider player and pushed him over, and they're all cheering in the room. So I love those type of rivalries. They get you excited. It's fun. And the Manning-Brady rivalry that we saw was so great all the years. It was must-watch TV. You were captivated by it. And I want to be in a point and a position where we can be captivated by that quarterback rivalry again and then take it to the next level and show Manning and Brady that this version is so much better and so much more exciting than what they put out there when they were going head-to-head. And I think with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore right now and Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City, if everything stays status quo and both stay with their current teams and both continue to win, we'll be able to see this matchup every single year. And it gets me excited. I'm so much more fired up this week about the Ravens game than I was last week going into the game against the Chargers. This one's got it for me, man.
I'm good with being fired up. I am not good with there being a rivalry. I liked Brady and Manning. Loved it. I didn't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
Didn't care who won, ultimately. Love to watch them go toe-to-toe. Right now, I am not interested in a rivalry whatsoever. I'm interested in kicking their ass each and every time you find them. I don't want the back and forth that is required to truly have a rivalry. I don't want them getting some and us getting...
No, I don't want them winning. I just want the game, the hype, and all that.
I want to stomp them each and every time they face them. I want the Ravens to continue to be... the hurdle that is to be the Chiefs, that every time John Harbaugh faces his mentor, he just kind of drifts away.
No, I'm good with that.
That
too,
every time Lamar Jackson sees Patrick Mahomes, he says he has to go to the, we're on each side of the football and now we're not really competing and bull.
Or you want him to pull the Pedro Martinez, the Yankees are my daddy.
Yeah. I want the Chiefs to dominate this thing so much that it's not a rivalry. I don't want the Ravens to win on Monday so that the rest of the year we have to hear from all the talking heads around the NFL about how the Ravens have unseated the Chiefs and they're in the driver's seat. No, I want the stiff arm to be thrown up. Monday, put the rest of the league on notice that if you forgot they're the Super Bowl champs, they're defending it and they're going to run it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want there to be a rivalry because I don't need there to be a rivalry. I'm just looking to just trash everyone in our way.
No, and I think the Chiefs will do that, but I still want to see these two teams play every year. I still want to see the talk about these two quarterbacks being the best in the NFL, and could Lamar Jackson knock off Patrick Mahomes? No is the answer, obviously, to that question. I like to see that those players. I love what we're seeing right now from the quarterback position in the NFL. There are so many just good quarterbacks right now in this league, so many that are becoming must-see TV. As we talked about, Kyler Murray being on that kind of mountaintop right now is another guy that you want to watch every single week. I think we're in the golden age of quarterbacks, as we've said before, in the NFL. I just love the big game feel that we have going into this game against the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm kind of with Harbaugh on this one, man. Not having the fans there stinks, and it's something you look at and you're like, man, if that place was packed on Monday night, it would just take that game to the next level. This is the game of the year, and it's 5-6 days away now, and I can't wait for Monday night to get here.
It does stink that there are no fans, but I like that it's in his head.
It is, yeah.
It's in his head darn, there's not going to be any fans.
We finally get this game in our building, and there's no fans here.
Tough. I want to continue to own them. I don't want them to make this a rivalry. I want Harbaugh to lose to Andy, and I want Lamar to lose to Pat every single time. Every single time.
Yeah, the irony of it's pretty unbelievable. You know, in terms of how many few Monday night home games we've had in the past 13 years. We get one against the Chiefs, and this kind of big game, and there's, you know, fans are not going to be there. I don't even know what to say about that. But 2020, man, it's that kind of a crazy year, I guess. So, but we'll be excited to play still, though, in Jameson. You know, all that being said, it'll still be a great environment. It'll still be a lot of fun. We'll be ready. They'll be ready. It'll be a great night for football.
See, yeah, we'll try. We're not going to have fans out there. Let's go. Just stomp them.
He's already in the head, you know, already in the head.
I want that. If you can guarantee me the outcome is our guys, then I'm for the rivalry.
Right.
The key to beating the Chiefs, we'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Speaking of quarterback rivalries, Trez Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, dropping by The Drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio and says there could be multiple quarterback rivalries that are brewing.
I don't know if it's just got to be Mahomes and Lamar. There's some great young quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Like, trust me, the league would love nothing more than Kyler Murray to be a bona fide star. And after reviewing his tape the last 2 weeks, I think we're headed there. That guy's going to have a huge season. No matter what game he's in or who he faces, he is always the fastest man on the field. He's an amazing player. Russell Wilson, still young enough to probably play for another decade or close to it. You know, there's some great young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, that we worry about the organizational structure around him. And then even more, Sean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. Justin Fields, people in the league I talk to love him. The quarterback position is in great hands in the NFL. They want more of the like Brady Manning thing. They want that again, but I think now, because of the way offenses have really evolved, you don't just have to rely on it being just Brady and Manning. I think the hope is that there's multiple matchups that can loom out there like that.
That'd be cool. Each and every week you're playing a good quarterback, just as long as ours is the best. Yeah, I mean, I often root for the AFC West. I've made that no secret. Like, I'm rooting for the rest of the AFC West to never find their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Even though I think, you know, I'm fully confident in Mahomes, I just assume no one else in the division finds their guy. But I love, though, that Therese is like the rest of us. He's like, yeah, I worry about the organizational structure of the Texans.
Right, everybody
does. I'm glad that's just not some, like, goofy talk show host narrative that, right. Like, Therese, who's pretty dialed in and everything, like, yeah, we worry about what's going on in Houston.
I don't think you have to be dialed in. You just have to look at the sidelines and realize that they got a buffoon.
But sometimes you go, that's just us. That's just us playing along with whatever it is. I think that I can't necessarily put Deshaun Watson in that category yet, because I'm like, he's going to have to overcome a lot of other stuff in that franchise before he can be truly great. That's why he's like a little further down the list for me in terms of who you would have as, you know, kind of equals or rivals.
Have you heard anybody say anything positive, though, about Bill O'Brien?
No, really.
You haven't, right? So, you know, we're all barking up the right tree, obviously, on that one. And when you've had the talent that they've had over the last couple of years, that's underachieving. I mean, 9-7s, 8-8s, barely winning the South with Deshaun Watson as your quarterback? Like, that's just unacceptable. J.J. Watt on your team? I mean, you've had some, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is the highest paid wide receiver in the game right now. Like, that, to me, that's coaching right there. When you have all of those star players and still underachieve like that, that goes back to coaching, that goes back to leadership. You look at John Harbaugh, you look at Andy Reid, you look at Pete Carroll. I mean, these are guys that have led their organizations and have done great things at their organizations because they're great leaders. Bill O'Brien's not a great leader. Bill O'Brien's a guy who thinks he, and that's the problem, in my opinion, with the Belichick tree. All these guys think they're Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and they're going to roll in there and start treating people like Bill Belichick when they haven't accomplished anything in their lives. They've rode the coattails of Bill Belichick, and now they're out on their own, and they all think they're Bill Belichick, and they're just going to, you know, everybody's just going to bow to them because they coached in New England, and that's just not the case. And so that's the issue right now with Bill O'Brien and his team down there, is that they've just underachieved for so many years. And if Russell Wilson's going to have like a quarterback rivalry with somebody, it's going to have to be somebody in the NFC like an Aaron Rodgers, somebody like that, that you have the opportunity to play all the time.
And Trevor Lawrence going to have to still gonna go to the right team.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence gets drafted by Jacksonville and Doug Barone is his head coach down there, I mean, there's no way he's going to have success.
Game of the year coming up on Monday night. Our Monday night marathon presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisors. We're going to be on all day, 24 hours, just starting at midnight, rolling through the game. Full pre- and post-game coverage right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. The game, of course, on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. During the game, we'll be taking calls as well. We got you locked on Monday, our Monday night marathon, presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Therese Paylor on the drive yesterday. Again, the key maybe to beating the Chiefs in this one.
Teams are going to do what has proven to kind of work against the Chiefs. This is what I've been saying for a while. You're going to protect against the deep pass. You're going to play two safeties a lot. You're going to try and keep the action in front of you. And then it's going to be really incumbent upon you to have a defensive front that can get home with four, which the Chargers have. They got two really good edge rushers. And then Jerry Tillery, looking like a young Chris Jones. Like, they can get after you up front with four, and they're fast. So, like, technically, they're built. Like, they've been built to try to stop Kansas City's offense. Like, guess what? Travis Kelce went off on Sunday, but if they had Derwin James Jr., maybe that wouldn't have been as easy. You understand? So, like, they've actually been building toward having a defense that can at least hang with these guys. But the problem is, and this is what's really unfair, You can do all that, and you can make the Chiefs go a long way, and you can dial up the perfect defenses, and it just doesn't matter because Mahomes will pull something out of his tail, and it's touchdown. That's the significance of the Tyreek Hill play, and we need to give Tyreek Hill credit for going to get it as well. That was a hell of a track, ball track, to go get it. And Mahomes pulled a few other plays out that, you know, other quarterbacks can't do, but, you know, that's the key to beating the Chiefs. And it's no secret now.
Just a few of those plays that only Patrick Mahomes can do.
I mean, it's just unfair is what he says. Yeah. I mean, like Therese views the Chiefs kind of like I do, like, you know, with that just, it's unbelievable mode, right? Like, it's just crazy. Like, Therese is in, like, I'm studying football mode, but then when it comes to the Chiefs, I'm putting on my fan hat and I'm just watching for the pure joy of what's going on here because we don't see it all the time.
All right, the first part of this made me laugh, too.
Teams are going to do what has proven to kind of work against the Chiefs.
So you know what they're gonna try to do what's kind of worked. I mean, not fully, but it's kind of worked. So they're gonna teams are gonna kind of do.
The teams try are gonna
to do what kind of works.
Kind of works against the Chiefs. I hope you have
works.
Like better personnel than the other teams that have tried to do it. Hopefully, you can work it, you know, the way that you see fit, and maybe you'll have some success about it. Like, people talk about the blueprint all the time. Oh, this is the blueprint to beat this team, or this is the blueprint to beat that team. There may be a blueprint out there to beat the Chiefs, but nobody's good enough to execute that blueprint right now against the Chiefs. And just when you think you have that blueprint executed, they had a wrinkle like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to now run the football. And like you've prepared for everything.
Roll to his right, jump in the air and wing it 50 yards.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what happened. Something
that, I just can't stop watching that Tyreek Hill touchdown from the other day.
It's nuts.
It's just incredible.
But they always say expect the unexpected. And with Patrick Mahomes, the unexpected is something that even the unexpected didn't expect. I mean, it's like, what just happened out there? What did he just do? He just ran for 21 yards. He just threw a pass to Tyreek Hill that had no business to be caught. I mean, like, just the things that he does, you can expect the unexpected all day, and he's going to do something more unexpecteder.
That would be it.
That would be it.
You really did that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Kind of brought that one full circle, didn't you?
Yes, I did. What was the word that you used this morning that was something similar to that? I can't remember now. It's 4 hours ago.
It was not a word either. It was a sports word.
Right. Yeah. Nice sports word. Yeah. I mean, like I say, if you're a defensive coordinator like Don Wink Martindale this week, you look around and you go,
press your luck.
I got nothing, man. Let's play the feud instead.
You're just spinning the wheel of fortune.
No whammies. Stop. I mean, that's all you can hope for.
Come back in 2-2.
Who is Patrick Mahomes?
Goodbye. They're bringing that back, by the way.
I know. Jane Lynch. I love her.
Jane Lynch is great, but can you steal the catchphrase?
She's outright
ripped off the catchphrase.
Yeah, but it's the game. The game owns the phrase.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently the game owns the phrase and not that British woman.
It's the phrase that pays.
Huh. All right.
You just hope Patrick Mahomes isn't in the center square.
Catch Joe Mays. He dropped by earlier today. Had some interesting stuff to say about the linebacker group. He played the position in the NFL, of course.
It's just a total shot at one of his teammates,
and,
man.
Yes, an absolute one. Check that out.
A nice one, too.
610sports.com or via the radio.com app. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold, come your way next, right here on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
And
I gotta go. Bye.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.